Rejoice, heart dwellers. We're moving ahead into a new day. An exceptional gift will be given to those who press in. May his courage and stamina be with you. Before I get into the message, I wanted you to know that if we continue on as we are now, praying and offering fasts and repenting under the conviction of sweet Holy Spirit, I believe that whatever natural disasters God may allow, none of them will result in nationwide martial law. I believe the ruling elite were expecting something significantly destructive, but the Lord will not allow it because it would interfere with the elections. That doesn't mean it couldn't happen in different states, but as far as the entire country is concerned, I just really feel the Lord is going to preserve that so that we can move forward with the elections. There are all kinds of prophecies about September and worldwide destruction, but the Lord has shared his heart of mercy with us, which is not the execution of justice, but a provision for mercy and continued repentance. So let's not get sidetracked with all the doom and gloom prophecies. You know he doesn't want us surfing for the latest bad news and impending disaster. When we begin doing that, we undermine what he has promised us. It's hard to hold on to your faith when you feed on other people's opinions, because there's so many of them and they all conflict. So let's hold on to his promises and put our hands to the plow, not looking back. That said, I've been working on the portrait of Jesus for 2 days and we are getting really close. I'm not going to show it to you until it's a little more finished, though. And also the Rhema book will be ready around the same time, so we may even use it for a cover. Suffice it to say that Holy Spirit has really taken over the portrait and really helped me. I ran into a few places where I was totally stumped, and he came in and just fixed it. So moving on, I want to share with you that as the ministry continues to be attacked, we are daily learning more and more of the enemy's tactics. Some things I have shared with you, and I'd love to hear back from you about the results. If any of you have been praying against those corrals or barriers, energy barriers, that try to keep us limited in what we can do, they try to isolate us from other things. Let me know if any of you have prayed against that and seen better results with your prayers. Other things are still so new to Ezekiel and I, and we're still discerning. But let's just say we're getting spectacular results in the healing department, and every time the enemy comes against us, we learn more. One thing that I believe is absolutely essential is baptism in the Holy Spirit with the evidence of speaking in tongues. There are some who are quite embarrassed to yield their tongues to Holy Spirit, but this is something we all have to get over, guys. In the second chapter of Acts, we are shown what the first Pentecost was like when Holy Spirit descended upon those gathered in prayer. When the day of Pentecost came, they were all together in one place. Suddenly, a sound like the blowing of a violent wind came from heaven and filled the whole house where they were sitting. They saw what seemed to be tongues of fire that separated and came to rest on each of them. All of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit enabled them. Now there were staying in Jerusalem God-fearing Jews from every nation under heaven. When they heard this sound, a crowd came together in bewilderment, because each one heard their own language being spoken. Utterly amazed, they asked, "Aren't all these who are speaking Galileans? Then how is it that each of us hears them in our native language? Parthians, Medes, and Elamites, residents of Mesopotamia, Judea and Cappadocia, Pontus and Asia, Phrygia and Pamphylia, Egypt, and the other parts of Libya near Cyrene, visitors from Rome, both Jews and converts to Judaism, Cretans and Arabs. We hear them declaring the wonders of God in our own tongues. Amazed and perplexed, they asked one another, "What does this mean?" Some, however, made fun of them and said, "Oh, they've had too much wine." Well, that's when Peter popped up and quoted Joel to them, but I didn't want to go into that. I wanted to just linger in that area of being made fun of. Are we going to allow embarrassment to keep us from receiving the power gift from on high? You know, the very day that Jesus ascended into heaven, he gave the command with a promise. "Behold, I'm sending the promise of my Father upon you, but remain in the city until you've been clothed with power from on high." That's Luke 24:49. Satan knows very well what gifts accompany the baptism of the Holy Spirit, guys. So he's deliberately contrived lies to discourage believers from receiving the fullness promised to us. He doesn't want to hear us speak in Holy Spirit's language, words that perfectly target exactly what he's trying to pull off, words that stop the enemy's operation dead in its tracks, words that disclose the darkness that befuddles believers. No, he wants us walking around in the dark, scratching our heads, trying to figure out what just happened to us and what he's going to do next. If this gift were not vital to spiritual warfare, never would the enemy bother to malign it. One thing you can count on, Satan targets those gifts which are most threatening to the kingdom of darkness. So to have this gift is to shine a light on the dark and putrid workings of the enemy. And the last thing he wants is to be discovered. Because not only will Holy Spirit reveal what's going on, he will instruct us in the weapon to use against it. And very often, the most powerful weapon is tongues, is praying in Holy Spirit. Now, sometimes you'll be given the interpretation when you're praying in tongues, and other times you won't. But you may feel the anointing. I know that whenever I go into a house to do a deliverance or to seal any portals, I can feel kind of get goosebumps when I walk in the room and there's a demon there or a portal there. And I pray in the Spirit and the Lord shows me what to do and to say. The language of the Spirit is well understood by the enemy. We may not understand it, but he understands it. And Holy Spirit deals directly with him. He doesn't mince any words. He doesn't poke around in the dark. He doesn't shotgun blast it. He goes right for the jugular. So this is a power gift, and it's so important. We're going up the mountain, heart dwellers. The Lord is beginning with house cleaning, repentance, and an amendment of life to live for him and not ourselves. He is preparing us for the next move of his Holy Spirit. And it requires new levels of honesty with ourselves and others. It requires a watertight ship that Satan can't target and sink because the hull was compromised by sin. Jesus wants to give us the power gifts that bring healing and restoration to our sick and broken souls. Then we will go out and heal and deliver in his power. So this season is a time of preparation, a time for house cleaning and repairs, that all the graces he wants to equip us with will be safely locked in a house with a foundation of love covered by the roof of humility. At this point, I asked the Lord, "Do you have something to share with them?" And he answered me, "Always. I always have something for my bride. My people, these times are growing in darkness like never before. The devil knows his time is short, and he has accelerated his attacks and used more clever technological means to drag souls to hell. And what is yet to come is even more terrible than in past centuries. So I'm preparing those who hunger and thirst for righteousness and long to be used in my kingdom. But as always, before one can fill a vessel, it must be cleansed of impurities and repaired where it's been damaged. Gone are the days when prayer easily puts the enemy to flight. Now their orders are to persevere against us until the target is utterly defeated. In other words, the enemy is out to kill you, to steal and destroy everything you've been given. You cannot run and hide from this. You must present yourself ready and willing on the battlefield. Retreat is not an option. Remember, I told you that the cowardly cannot inherit the kingdom of God. That's Revelation 21:8. You have to be willing to fight. I know many of you are older and tired, even very tired. But when you press in, doing it anyway, I will be faithful to regenerate all you have lost in my service. You must learn to keep walking when you've been shot and go back for your brother who's lying wounded in the trench. I'm calling for a new level of commitment and service from you all. As always, the benefits will be out of this world, but I'm deeply blessed, for my people are not mercenaries. No, they're dedicated shepherds and shepherdesses. And as you press in and are called up higher into more fierce battlefields, you will be fully equipped and protected with all that's necessary. Rely more and more on my Holy Spirit and less on your own prowess and experience. The enemy is far more experienced at these battles, and only by relying totally on my Spirit for direction and arming, only by my Spirit, says the Lord of hosts, shall you do valiantly. Is there anything too hard for me? No, I say there is not. So do not allow the perimeters of your past determine your future. Rather, keep your eyes on me, and I will lead you into new territory to take for the kingdom. My people, the unsaved, are calling out desperately for truth. You have what they're longing for. Move forward in complete confidence that where I lead, I equip, and expect to do things unheard of in the past. I am with you. Confidently, move forward into new anointings. Do not be satisfied with the past, lest you fall asleep at the wheel while others move forward into their dreams. Remember, I am with you. I will equip you. If I've put it in your heart to do, and it's one of your dreams, we're going to move forward and accomplish it in my power.